We're going to have a reading from the Bible now. And for the benefit of some of the younger ones, it's from the New Testament. And it's taken from a letter written by Paul to the Christians who lived in Rome. And in the part of the letter I'm going to read, Paul tells us that everyone can become a friend of God, but that people won't know this unless someone tells them. And the passage is from Romans chapter 10, starting to read at verse 8. What it says is this: God's message is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the message of faith that we preach. If you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from death, you will be saved. For it is by our faith that we are put right with God. It is by our confession that we are saved. The scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. This includes everyone, because there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. God is the same Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. As the scripture says, everyone who calls out to the Lord for help will be saved. But how can they call to him for help if they have not believed? And how can they believe if they have not heard the message? And how can they hear if the message is not proclaimed? And how can the message be proclaimed if the messengers are not sent out? As the scripture says, how wonderful is the coming of messengers who bring good news. But not all have accepted the good news. Isaiah himself said, Lord, who believed our message? So then, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message comes through preaching Christ. And that's the end of the reading.
We're going to talk to Mummy Trenier and Daddy Trenier and David and Ruth and possibly Anna, we'll see. I think we should ask Daddy first, why all this? When are you actually going? Because it's the 4th of July today, but you don't go away to Africa quite yet, do you?
Well, we packed off our container on Friday. We saw it drive round the corner, and we should next see it again with all our belongings inside, hopefully at the end of August. But we actually go on the 22nd of August. We arrive the morning of the 23rd of August in Nairobi.
Fine, so we're actually sort of saying goodbye to you today, but if you see them around for a few weeks yet, you'll realise it's not a mistake, but this is the last big parade and family service before they go. Now, if you've looked in your notice sheet some services ago, you'll notice we've often prayed for Mike Trenier as he's gone off to Africa, each time he's come back again. I'm going to ask him to tell us why he's going this time, not to come back for a long time.
Well, I suppose the real reason why we're going is because there are lots of people in Africa who are asking the question that we've just sung about, who is Jesus? Lots of people in Africa want to know who Jesus is. And I've been going backwards and forwards to West Africa, to Nigeria and to Ghana, because people there had written asking me to come and help them, helping them to tell their friends who Jesus is. And now, in my work with navigators, I've been asked to take on an overall responsibility for the navigator work in Africa, which includes the work in East Africa. So rather than live here and travel from here to East and West Africa, it seems more sensible to live in Nairobi and to be right there and to be able to tell people. Yes, you can see on the map there, Nigeria and Ghana, over on the far side in the green, and then Nairobi and Kenya and Uganda next to it, there on the east side.
We decided we'd put a map up, because I'm sure some of us feel that if they're going to Africa so that Mike can be nearer to his work, it's not quite like that, because you can see living in Nairobi, he's going to have nearly as far to travel to Ghana across Africa as he does at the moment travelling from New Malden to Ghana down that brown line. So it's not a case of being near to all your work, is it?
No.
Just a quickie, because somebody asked me this week, what is navigators? Do they sail ships around the oceans? And I think you used the word navigators that you work for.
Navigators.
Needs a little bit of explanation.
Navigators, the idea is teaching people to navigate through life using the Bible as their chart and Christ as their captain. It's a group aimed at helping Christians to grow up in Christ, to really know the Bible, and then to be able to help others in the same way. Okay, so what I'm going to be doing mainly is helping Africans not only to know the Bible, not only to know Christ, but to make him known to their friends and to be able to help their friends to grow up in Christ.
Now, both David and Ruth have been at our schools in the parish, and I think a mum might be worried as to what sort of schools children are going to when they get to Nairobi. Could you say something about that?
Yes, Ruth and David have been accepted in an English system school. It'll be a day school, and there'll be a lot of different nationalities there. So they'll have perhaps friends from Asian friends or Kenyan friends, some English. It has got a Christian foundation, so you could pray for them.
Lovely. Now we come to the children. Ruth, eldest first, ladies first, isn't it? I'm going to ask Ruth what you're going to miss most. You think you're going to miss most when you get there. What are you going to miss?
Well, my friends and my relations and school and Junos and Explorers.
That's good. Friends and relations and things. I was wondering what was included in friends. And I was going to suggest she might just miss school a bit, and she said it without any prompting. That's good. And all those teachers and things, Ruth, isn't it? That's right. What about David? Ruth's going to miss things going that she's leaving behind. What's David looking forward to when you get there?
School and my new house.
Looking forward to the new house. You told me something else the other day when we were talking you're going to look forward to, not far from where you're going to live.
Game park.
Looking forward to a game park nearby. And I said, well, the people sitting here, a lot of these children, when you say game park this week, they're going to think of tennis or World Cup or something. You talk about games. What do you find in a game park?
Animals.
Animals. When we were talking about this last weekend, Anna gave the answer to that. She won't this time, will she? She said elephants, so there we are. I'll say it for her. Now, going back to Chris as a mum, we're used to being able to pop down to the shops in what we cosily call the village, and we've got the doctor across the road and so on. Do you have any worries about that sort of thing and shopping?
Yes, I think it is a lot of the unknown at the moment. There are supermarkets, but they're also local open markets and medical facilities. There is actually a very good hospital in Nairobi.
Going on. And one other question occurs to me. We wonder, you know, is Africa, is it hot and everything else? Or how's the climate compare with here?
Yes, it is. It's hotter than here. Actually, we go out to their winter, so-called, but I think it's more like our summer. And I think that to getting to know people and really getting to know a new culture, you know, perhaps we have apprehensions about that.
And perhaps a final word, a couple of words from Daddy about a verse, perhaps, that's helpful. I know there's going to be one because we've got it written up ready to go on the screen. And anything we can do after you've gone so we don't forget you too quickly.
Yes, a Bible verse that's been very, very special to us as we thought about our move is Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, which is going up there. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And that's wonderful for us to know as we go out on a new adventure to step out in faith, that we don't go on our own, even though we leave all of you behind, but the Lord himself goes before us and he will be with us and he'll never leave us or forsake us. And we'd appreciate your praying for us that we'd really know that verse is true, and even when sometimes we might think that it isn't, that we'd remember it and remember that God is with us and he's going to help us.
Thank you very much, and there's a chance to hear more from Mike in a few minutes' time. Thank you all.
Let's just have a prayer, shall we, as you stand? Father, we thank you for the power of the Lord Jesus, and that in a world where many people are lost and don't know love, your love, and don't have strength to help them with their difficulties and don't have anything to look forward to beyond death, we pray that in this world the love of Christ and the power of Christ would be shown out in our lives to others. Teach us from your word now, Father, as we seek to learn what it means to step out in faith and speak out in love. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do sit down. I'd like to speak to you for a few minutes from the passage that was read to us. And if you've got a Bible there, it would help you to open it to Romans chapter 10. And we're going to look at verses 13 to 15. And I'm going to try and share with you under three headings, three words, which come out in this passage. First, the word saved, then the word told, and then the word sent. Saved, told, sent. Verse 13 says this, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word saved. Let's think about that for a moment. We're told that everyone can be saved. That everyone needs to be saved. What does saved mean? Anybody have an answer for us? What does saved mean? What would be another word we could use to mean the same as saved? Yes?
Rescued.
Rescued. That's right. Rescued. Saved. To be saved means to be rescued. We've had lots of examples, haven't we, in the last few weeks of people being rescued. There's someone being rescued, aren't they? And I expect you've probably seen film on the television of people who've had to jump overboard from burning ships being rescued like that, with a person let down from a helicopter, pulling them out of the freezing sea. People who are helpless, who would drown or freeze to death in the cold waters, suddenly being rescued from someone coming down from above to pull them out of the sea. And that's a bit like what Jesus has done for us, isn't it? He's come down from heaven to rescue us, to save us. But he's not saving us from drowning, is he? What's he saving us from? Yes? The devil. Yes, he's saving us from the devil. He's saving us from the things the devil wants us to do. What do we call those? Yes? Sins. Oh, and perhaps when we see someone drowning in a sea like that, we can see, oh, they really need saving. We hope the helicopter gets to them in time. We hope he's able to pull them up out of the water. But when we talk about people being saved or rescued from their sins, we think, perhaps we think anyway, well, do people really need saving from sins? What are sins? But you know, the wrong things we do, and the fact that we don't obey God and we don't do what his word says, our sins, in fact, are far more dangerous than cold water. Because sins destroy people's lives. And if we allow those wrong things in our lives to just go on and go on and go on, they will destroy us. The devil wants to destroy, to spoil people's lives. And not just in this life, but for eternity. Because Jesus warned us that if we don't believe in him, if we don't allow him to rescue us, we're going to die in our sins. Now, we're told here in this verse that we've read that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You imagine that man in the water, hoping that he'd hear the helicopter coming and that the man would be let down to rescue him out of the water. And if we're wise and we haven't been rescued from our sins, we might be thinking, I hope Jesus can save me, can rescue me from the wrong things I do. Can he really? Paul says, yes, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When we call out to Jesus for help, when we call out to Jesus for help, he promises to help us, to come to us and rescue us. I wonder if you've ever knelt down by your bed or just sat in the quietness of your room and said, Lord Jesus, please help me. I know I do lots of wrong things. I know that if I just let that go on in my life without asking for your help, it's going to spoil and destroy my life. Please rescue me from my sins. When we do that, we have the wonderful promise that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the first word then. Saved. But now the next word, told. We read, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone telling them? Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? People can't call out to Jesus to help them unless they know about Jesus and they know that he wants to help them. Do you know that there are lots of people in the world who've never heard about Jesus? Now you look at that picture that Mr. Lehue's just put up for us there. Now, if that represented all the people in the world, which it doesn't, of course, there are many more people than that, and they're not coloured different colours either, quite like that. But if that represented all the people in the world, which colour section do you think would be the people who'd never heard about Jesus? Yes? The red section. Now, isn't that sad? Perhaps you were hoping it would be different. But it would be the red section, the big section, that would represent the people who've never, ever heard about Jesus. And Paul has told us here that unless we go and tell them, they won't hear. And then the green section here, I've said that they represent the people who believe in Jesus. And sort of in between them and the people who've never heard are the people who perhaps have heard but haven't listened. I wonder if there's someone in church like that this morning. I expect there are probably lots of people like that in Britain. I don't expect there are very many people in Britain who've never heard. But there are lots of people who've heard but never listened. Or there are people who've listened, but they've never really believed. Perhaps they haven't heard enough. Perhaps they haven't heard enough people who believe in Jesus. They haven't perhaps understood what Jesus is saying. And so they haven't believed. Now, Paul says that those of us who are believers in Jesus must go to tell the people who've never heard, the people who've heard but haven't listened, and even the people perhaps who've listened but haven't believed yet. We've got to go to tell them about Jesus. It might mean going to Africa. Or like Vivian Whitfield is going to South America later in the year to tell people. Or it might just mean going across the street or to the people next door. But there are lots of people. There are lots and lots of people in the world who don't believe in Jesus. Do you know the prayer of the little girl? Perhaps there are some little girls here who could make that their prayer. Lord Jesus, we know that there are going to be lots of people in heaven, but we want more. But how are there going to be more people unless we go and tell them about Jesus and about his love? You know, there's an interesting verse, a bit of verse 17 here. If you've got a Good News Bible, it doesn't exactly say it the same as it does in the other translations. But in my Bible, it says this: how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Isn't that a funny verse? That's a quotation from the Old Testament. That's not a very beautiful feat. Perhaps we should have got someone up here with beautiful feet to show them. But we don't very often think of feet being beautiful, do we? When do you think feet are beautiful? From this verse. When do you think feet are beautiful? Anybody got an answer for us? When do you think God would think our feet were beautiful? I don't suppose you think your feet are beautiful, but God does sometimes. When? Anybody going to guess? I'll tell you, shall I? Well, when we use them to go and tell people about Jesus. When we use our feet to go to someone, whether it's next door or the other side of the world, when we use our feet to go and tell people about Jesus, then God thinks our feet are beautiful. But you know, it's sometimes difficult to go, isn't it? Perhaps we feel shy or embarrassed, or we don't think we'll know what we're going to say when we talk to them. We want to step out in faith, we want to speak out in love, but we're not sure how to. Well, Paul tells us here, and he speaks about that, he says, how can people tell others unless they're sent? They have to be sent. That's the next big word in this passage. We've thought about the need to be saved. We've thought that people need to be told. But now we're thinking that if people are going to go and tell others, they've got to be sent. They've got to be helped. People, we're not going to just go. I certainly wouldn't just go to Africa to tell people there about Jesus unless I thought some people were sending me, that they were going to help me and pray for me and encourage me. And I don't expect that you're likely to go and tell the people next door or your friends down the street about Jesus unless you think there are going to be people praying for you and helping you and encouraging you and telling you what to say. We need to be sent. And the Bible tells us that we have been sent. We've been sent by Jesus. In John chapter 20, Jesus, talking to his followers, says, as the Father sent me, even so I send you. Just as we thought of that helicopter and the man on the rope was a bit like Jesus, rescuing people from their sins, going out and finding people and helping them. So, we're told that we're a bit like that as well. We're a bit like people that Jesus has sent out to find people and help them. Perhaps by doing something kind for them, to show them that God loves them, or to tell them about the love of God, about the love of Jesus. We're sent by Jesus. But then we're also sent by one another. You know, a church like this is a bit like an aircraft carrier, isn't it? In the Falklands crisis. Which do you think is more important, the helicopter or the aircraft carrier? I tell you which I think is most important, the aircraft carrier. Because an aircraft carrier can send out lots of helicopters. And one helicopter might get lost or have an accident, but there are other ones on the boat that can be sent out. Now, a church is like an aircraft carrier, isn't it? In this church this morning, there are lots of helicopters that can be sent out. Some can be sent as far away as Africa, perhaps. But other people can be just sent to others around to help them, to show them the love of Jesus, to tell them about Jesus. But they have to be sent out from a base. And that's what a church is, isn't it? That's why we meet together, to encourage one another, to help one another, to learn what to say, to pray for one another. Because people need to be saved. And to be saved, they have to be told. And if we're going to tell others, then we need to help one another to go out, to be sent. Let's have another little prayer, shall we? Lord Jesus, we know that there are going to be lots of people in heaven. We thank you for people all over the world who believe in you. But we want more, Lord Jesus. We want more people to know about you. And we want you to help us to tell them about you. And we want you to help us as we send out one another. As we pray for one another. As we encourage one another. Lord Jesus, please help us to apply the truths that you've taught us this morning. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.